going to continue today in this series of messages we started some weeks ago on things that God never said. We talked about a couple things already that have got some people thinking, and that's good, right? Because everybody loves to think. Critical thinking. Yes, that's what we're doing. We're critically thinking together. And today is the third message in the series of God Never Said That. And today we're going to talk about the fact that God never said that everything happens for a reason. Oh boy. Next week we're going to talk about how God never said that we're all God's children. And the week after that, we're going to be talking about how God never said that our job is to bring people into the church to lead them in the sinner's prayer. I don't know how I'm going to make a catchy title out of that, but that's awful long, so we're going to have to try to figure out some way of doing that. Somebody asked me last night, do you actually write sermons ahead of time? Yeah. Yeah, there's been times that I'm 5-6 weeks out been writing sermons. Of course, Christmas took care of all that, and so I'm down to 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time. But over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about things that people like to say. And some of these things sound Christian. Some of them even sound biblical. But what about things that we'd like to say that aren't especially biblical? Has anybody here ever said, everything happens for a reason? Come on. Those of you that aren't raising your hand are all liars. Maybe not. But we like to say that. We like to say that everything happens for a reason. I know I've said it. It sounds almost biblical, and I do say almost biblical. Because, truthfully speaking, it isn't. And before you stone me, folks, hang on. Keep paying attention to the end of the message, and you'll understand where I'm going with this, okay? Please. We'll explain how this works in just a minute or two. When people say that everything happens for a reason, they usually mean well when they say it. Because when they say it, they're trying to make sense out of something that is hurtful or doesn't make sense to them. Okay? Something's happened that is hurtful. Something's happened that is confusing. And the truth is that there is meaning to the idea that God makes things work in the life of His children. He does. He makes things work. He takes care of things in the believer's life. And since God takes care of everything, which He does, okay, is it possible that since God takes care of everything, then nothing happens by chance? If so, does that mean that everything happens for a reason? Oh boy, here we go. There's a whole plethora of ideas that goes on around something like that. I was talking to a fellow one time about this subject. And he said to me, well, I want you to know something, Pastor Jay. I've been studying the Bible, and I believe that I am absolutely safe in God's hands, and there is nothing bad that will happen to me. I'm indestructible as long as God wants me to be alive. Okay? I said, well, explain further. He said, well, for example, he says, I believe that until my time comes that God is going to protect me and I'm not going to die until He's ready for me to do so. Really? I said, that sounds almost like it makes sense. He says, yeah, if I was to step off this curb and into rush hour traffic, I wouldn't die by being hit by a car until it was God's time, until my time is up. I said, son, if you walk out into that street in rush hour traffic against the lights, your time has come. That's it. Everything happens for a reason is a relatively harmless phrase until you run into somebody who says it at the wrong time. Like at a funeral. Some years ago, I did a funeral and went to the viewing, and the fellow that I was sitting next to had a wife who died tragically, and he asked me to sit with him during the viewing because he was so upset. As it turned out, his wife, whose name was Louise, he and his wife were attending my church, and one Sunday after church, Louise was walking down the stairs and her hip broke and she fell down the stairs. No, she didn't fall down the stairs breaking her hip. She had osteoporosis badly enough that her hip broke just from the pressure of walking. And she tumbled down the stairs, and well, she had to go to the emergency room, and then she had to go to get emergency surgery, and she went into the ICU where she developed an infection, and she passed. So, there we are at the viewing, and as I sat beside this poor bereaved soul, who had been married to this woman for somewhere around 50 years, feeling like his life was over, I listened as people walked by and shook this man's hand and said something like, obviously God had a plan for this, so you'd better accept it. Other people said things like, it must be God's will, and somehow we have to live with this. Okay? Another fellow says to him, God planned this somehow to test your faith. We can't understand the thinking of God, and he's testing your faith now. All right, folks, this is not the time and place to say everything happens for a reason, okay? And I left that viewing so mad that I went home, and I took my message I was going to preach after, you know, funeral service, and I ripped it up, and I chucked it in the basket. Because my message is going to be about how God uses servants to glorify himself and about how God had used this woman to help so many kids that she taught in Sunday school. And I tore the message up and I threw it out and I rewrote something called God Does Not Push Little Old Ladies Down the Stairs. Yeah, some of my best messages come when I'm mad. Your wife passed away because it was God's plan for her to pass away. And I said, no, it wasn't. That's not true. Does that sound like a good thing to tell somebody at a funeral? No, of course not. Of course not. Well, I tried to explain in that message that day how God should not be blamed for the bad stuff that happens. Because there's bad stuff that happens because bad stuff happens. Okay? How could they possibly come to the kind of theology that would imply that God would push a little old lady down the stairs? And oh, I fought with this. And I fought with that idea. And I want to share with you the fruits of that argument that I had internally. And the first thing I want to talk to you about this morning is what I call psychology theology. Okay? Psychology theology. Back when I attended a secular school, which I did for 2 years before I went to Bible school. I took some classes in philosophy, I took some classes in sociology and psychology, all right? I took classes in communication. And one of the things that I learned was that most people think like this. This made a big impression on me, and I hope you understand where I'm coming from when I talk about this. Most people look at the world and try to reason like this. If A equals B, proposition 1, and B equals C, proposition 2, then what? A equals, come on you algebra thinkers, if A equals B and B equals C, then what does A equal? Yeah, it makes sense, right? That's logic. It's pure psychology. Can you sense that I'm laying a trap for you in your thinking? You might as well. You know, I like to do that kind of thing. The professor, whose name was Benny Hunziker, explained to me that by the time people arrive at a conclusion, okay, it's because they have said if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So it seems like a logical conclusion. And it's hard to shake people's convictions that A equals C if A equals B and B equals C. Yeah, just stay with me, Commander. Just hang on. They believe that A has to equal C because it's a logical outcome. Right? Doesn't that make sense? Isn't that logic? If A equals B and B equals C, that A equals C. So in order to point out if somebody is coming to a wrong conclusion and you know that their C is a wrong conclusion, you have to prove to them somewhere that their A is wrong or their B is wrong. Does that make sense? So if A equals B and B equals C, and you think that A equals C, but what if A doesn't equal C, or C doesn't equal A or B. You have to show them that they have arrived at a wrong conclusion based on a wrong proposition or a wrong premise. Get it? That's a little hard thinking, man. First thing in the morning, man, we just had one cup of coffee before we came to church, and that was asking us to think. In order to point out where their conclusions are wrong, you need to show where A or B is wrong. That makes sense. Okay. So when it comes to everything happens for a reason, what happens? Our reasoning goes like this. God has a plan for my life, which we believe he does. Correct? Do you believe God has a plan for your life? Good thinking. That's good theology. The Bible also says that God has made us a whole ton of promises. I was reading some commentator the other day who said that God has made 2,930 promises to his children. And they're promises for good things. Alright? So, if God has a plan for my life, and God has made us all kinds of promises, then what? Since God has made us promises, and God has made a plan for our life, the only logical conclusion is that God will protect us in everything. Because one of those promises is that if we trust in the Lord, he will lift us up by the power of his angels so that we don't even dash our foot against a stone. That is Psalm 91. So if God has made that promise that he will lift us up with his angels so that we don't dash our foot against a stone, and he has a plan for us, and you get up in the middle of the night and you stub your toe, that is, dash your foot against your footboard, and all of a sudden all these religious thoughts start coming to your head, like, I'm going to die. This hurts so bad. That it means that God intended for you to stub your toe. Logical conclusion, right? Whoa, wait a minute. Maybe. The problem is, this thinking is so close to scriptural teaching that it actually makes sense, kinda. That's K-I-N-D-A, in case you're wondering how to spell it. K-I-N-D-A, kinda makes sense. So let's examine the propositions for just a couple minutes. Psychology theology states that A equals B and B equals C, therefore A equals C. And I want you to know that's not always the case. It doesn't always work that way. Okay? So, first, it is true that God has a plan for your life. One of my favorite promises along this line is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, that tells us, and I quote, "We are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That is a wonderful promise for all of God's children. Every one of those people that has accepted Christ, that is a beautiful promise for them, that God has created you for the purpose of doing something good. Nice promise. I kind of like that one. God has prepared things for you and me that we need to do. He has a plan for our lives. He has a purpose for us to accomplish in life. And once we accept that, we are capable of doing some pretty amazing things. For example, if you really believe that God had your back, what would you be daring to do? What would you dare to do if you really believe that God has your back? Would you be willing to risk great things for God? Would you be willing to step out in faith and do things or believe things by faith if you honestly believe that God has your back? Well, I'm here to tell you that God has your back. He does. And you can dare to do great things for God because he has your back. You can dare to have faith in a world that is saying, don't have faith. Walk by sight, not by faith. Well, God says in Corinthians, what? Walk by faith and not by sight. And you can take that as a promise and a challenge. Because if you do walk by faith, God will honor that. We know that to be true. People who believe that God approves of something or are more likely to take a shot at it. As a matter of fact, there was a study done at one of the University of California colleges. They studied 2,100 people and asked them what they would be willing to do if they believed God wanted them to do it. And the people that believed in Jesus were willing to do things that are amazing, while the people that didn't believe were not so willing to do. If you honestly believe that God has your back, you are willing to do things. Our faith in God is actually a faith in God's faithfulness. Do you believe that God is faithful to you? I mean, honestly, do you believe He's faithful to you? Well, if you really have faith in God's faithfulness, then it causes us to live our life in a sense of holy expectancy. Because we're expecting God to deliver on His promises. And when we read a promise of God in the Bible, we can take that and say, hey, that's for me, because I believe God has my back. Okay? When I look at God's plan, I kind of think about kids sitting around the Christmas tree. And you know, Christmas isn't so, you know, magical for those of us that are, you know, way up there in years like me. But when you're a kid, Christmas is what? Magical. They sit around that Christmas tree, they're looking at the presents, and their eyes are this big. You know, their pulses are pounding because they look at those gift-wrapped boxes and they're thinking, what? There's something in the other side that's going to change my life. Man, there's going to be something really good in there. You know? And then you end up with footy pajamas and think, what could I do to deserve this? They can't see what's inside the gifts, but they just know it's going to be something good. And it reminds me of Jeremiah 29:11, where he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future. God has plans to give you a good future and not to harm you. Some time ago, Dr. Carl Menninger wrote that attitudes are more important than facts. Attitudes are more important than facts. Your attitudes, ladies and gentlemen, determine your actions. And if you have the attitude that says, God has my back in everything, that makes a big difference in the way you respond to the world. Great men and women of Scripture had the attitude that God had a plan for their life, and they obeyed that plan, and they ended up in Hebrews chapter 11. You know who that is? Pick up the Bible, read it for yourself. So when you and I believe that God has a plan for our lives, and that He has the power to back up that plan and back up those promises that He makes to us, well, we understand that we can't lose. So what does that mean as far as everything happens for a reason? Well, point number three is God has a plan for your life, and that goes hand in glove with the fact that God has made you promises. He has made you promises, and He has a plan. One of the most famous and beloved promises that God has given to us is found in Romans chapter 8. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. How many of you can quote that from memory? Chances are, if you can quote Romans 8, 28 from memory, it's because you had to. You know what I mean by that? Because you've had to remind yourself that all things work together for good, for those who love Him, for those who are the called according to His purpose. God makes all things work out for good for those who are called according to His purpose and love. I like that promise. Because it means that the sufferings that I'm going through right now, God can make work out for something good. So the question is, does everything happen for a reason? God will work for good for everybody who loves Him, for everybody who is called according to His purpose. But it says this question, how many things will God work out for good for those who love Him? How many? Look it up for yourself, Romans 8:28. All things. God can cause all things to work for good. So, let's ask a couple questions. Okay? Listen, please. If God can cause all things to work together for good, for those who love him, for those who are the called according to his purpose, is that saying that all things are good? It has to mean that all things are good because everything happens for a reason. Nope. Folks, here's the duct tape moment. Not everything that happens is good. Not everything that happens is good. But didn't you just say that all things work together for good? That God causes all these things to work together for good? How can you say that not everything that happens is good? Well, back up for a second. Is this verse saying that God caused all things to happen in your life? Is it saying that God caused that thing to happen? No, that's not what it says. The Bible nowhere says that everything that happens is good. Nor does the Bible anywhere say that God causes everything to happen. What does it say? What it says is, it doesn't make any difference. What do you mean? Well, hold tight. Engage the thinking processes. It doesn't matter what happens in your life, whether it's caused by God or not. It doesn't matter if what has happened in your life is a good thing or a bad thing. No matter what has happened in your life, it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. The truth is that in the end, God can take all those things, good or bad, and make them work for your good. Am I making myself clear? Not a little louder. I need to hear that rattling around. No matter why something has happened in my life, all things can work together for good, even if those things that have happened are not good. No matter what trouble Satan brings into your life, God can even take those things and make them work out for your good and his glory. And so I state categorically, not everything in this world happens for a reason. Unless you're going to say that the reason is that people are stupid and do stupid things. Sometimes bad things happen because there's stupid people in the world, and I know what you're going to think. You're going home, you're going to say, I'm going to tell everybody that Pastor Jay just said some people are stupid. Well, I'm not taking that back. Remember the story of Cain and Abel? Did God intend for Cain to kill Abel? No. But God took that horrible act and made something beautiful happen out of it. What was the thing beautiful that happened out of it? Another son, whose name was Seth, meaning child of promise. And it was through Seth's line that Jesus came. God took something evil and made something beautiful out of it. Was it God's plan or God's desire for King David to commit adultery with Bathsheba? Everything happens for a reason, so it must be that God planned that out. No. David had adultery with Bathsheba because of the evil in his own heart. It doesn't matter, though, why things happen. God says, I can make all things work together for good if you're in your life, if you love me. You love me, I can make that work. I can make good things happen in your life, all you have to do is love me. This is what God is saying. And so, point number four is this. What does God do? That's a question. What does God do? Look at Romans 8, verses 17 and 18, if you would please. One of the things that we have to realize is that when we find a favorite verse in Scripture, like Romans 8:28, that's not just hanging out there by itself. There's a whole bunch of context that we have to take into account when we're looking at a particular verse or a passage. And this is important context for Romans 8:28. Okay? verses 17 and 18. Everybody got that? I'm going to give you a couple more moments. Romans 8, 17 and 18. Ready to go? Okay. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Okay, Romans 8:28 has to be considered in terms of Romans 8:17 and 18. The backdrop of Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose, must be considered with Romans 8:17-18 as the backdrop. And that backdrop is what? That you're a child of God and therefore a co-heir with Christ Jesus. Do you want to know that all things are going to work together for your good and his glory? Then the first thing you need to do is become a child of God. And I'm going to give something away, folks. We're not all God's children. We're all his creation. But if you want to be part of his family and part of the people that are the children of God, then you'll have to hear more about it next week. What this is saying is this: as Christians, you're going to suffer. Or as Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world, he said. But he said, you're going to have tribulations. There are going to be things that happen in your life that are unpleasant. There are going to be things in your life that may feel like they're going to cut you right to the quick. They may be bad things that happen in your life. Does everything happen for a reason? No. But God can take all those things and in the end make them make sense. He can make something good even out of something that appears to be bad. The suffering that Jesus talked about when he said, in this world you'll have tribulations, isn't always going to be part of God's plan for our life. But even though it isn't, God can make something happen out of it. God can cause all things to work together for good for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. Sometimes, folks, we're going to sin and we're going to suffer because we've sinned. Sometimes we are going to suffer because of the sins of other people. Sometimes evil people will do evil things to us. Sometimes we have to understand that not everything that happens because it's God's plan, because everything happens for a reason. That mindset causes us to blame God for things that he shouldn't be blamed for. I was talking to a friend of mine who's an atheist one day. Yes, that's right, I have a friend who's an atheist. Actually, a couple. And he said, I don't believe in a God who is going to let this happen and let that happen and starting to list off all these bad things. And I told him, I said, you know, part of your mindset problem is you're willing to blame God for all the bad stuff, but you're not willing to give him credit for all the good stuff. And if you're going to blame him for all the bad stuff, what do you have to do? You've got to give him credit for the good stuff. It's only fair. Right? It's only fair. God does not push little old ladies down the stairs. He doesn't. And don't tell me he does, because I'm going to get mad. You don't want to see me mad. He does not make it so that we make bad choices in life. He didn't make David have adultery with Bathsheba. He didn't make Cain kill Abel. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because of the evil in his own heart. Why did David do what he did? Because of the evil in his own heart. Why is it that we sin and we do stupid stuff that we end up aching for? Because of the evil in our own heart. The heart of man is sick and deceitful. But Okay, the whole message right now comes down to this final moment. And it starts with the word but. That's B-U-T. But what happens in our lives will mean something because God can make it mean something. And that's where people get confused. They think that if God can take something and make something good out of it, it means He intended it. Is it God's intention that poor Louise fell down the stairs? No. I can tell you, though, at the funeral service, when several people accepted Jesus as their Savior, that God glorified Himself in it. One of the best illustrations I can think of for this whole thing to help us understand this comes from Scripture, and I've already talked about him. It's a man named King David. King David became a man after God's own heart. But don't forget the fact that he was guilty of adultery and murder first. Okay? He became a great warrior and a great leader. But then one day, David didn't go to battle like he should have. And as he looked out his window, he looked across the courtyard, and he saw a woman bathing on the rooftop. And he lusted after her. And he called for her. And he slept with her. And then one day, he hears, "David, honey, I'm pregnant." Was that God's intention? Did David sin like that? Then, he said, "I've got to cover this up. I'm going to send for her husband from the front lines of battle, and I'm going to ask him to come and spend a couple days furlough with his wife. That way, when she becomes pregnant, everybody's going to say that it's Uriah's baby." Guess what? Uriah said, "It's not right for me to do that, for all my men are giving their lives on the front lines." And so David sent him out to the most violent place in the front line so that he would die, and he did. He died in battle. David, therefore, being guilty of murder. Was that God's plan for David's life? One day there came a knock on David's door. He opened the door. Actually, no, that's the case, but I know that Nathan came and talked to him. Nathan, the prophet, came and told him a story about how a man who had plenty took a sheep, a little baby sheep of somebody who didn't have much, and he stole it away from the man who didn't have much. And he said to David, "What do you think we should do with this man that stole this sheep?" And David said his life should be demanded of him. And then Nathan took his bony little finger and he stuck it in David's face and he said, "You're the man." What was the end result? Here's the end result. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Wash me and I will become whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all of my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." What was the end result of the bony finger that had been put in David's face? Repentance. He repented. And he wrote Psalm 51 as a psalm of repentance. God took what David had done, something evil. He took something that David had done, which was not a good thing, and made it so that even this evil thing could be turned to good. How? Because David humbled himself before God. He stopped making excuses for his sinful behavior. He stopped making excuses for his sin. He repented, and that repentance, ladies and gentlemen, changed his life. And he became a man that was after God's own heart. God showed himself to be faithful to David, and all things worked together for good. because David had placed himself in the palm of God's hand. Does God cause all things to happen? Everything happens for a reason? The answer is no. But God can make good out of anything. How many of you know who the next king of Israel was after David? Everybody say Solomon. Solomon was the son of whom? Who's his mom? Bathsheba. God took something bad and he made something really good out of it. You see what God did there? He took the evil that David had concocted in his own heart and he used it to glorify himself, because all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. Even the second child of David became the king of Israel, a king who stood for God. What? Second child? Yeah, because King David and Bathsheba had a child. And that child died. And then Solomon was born. And God did amazing things. The point is, folks, we all mess up. We sin. We fall short of the glory of God. We're broken people. And we've all done some things that we would prefer to forget. Everybody. Not everything we've done was done for a reason. Maybe our own reason. But God can take that which we've done and make it have a reason. He can take what we've messed up and turn it into something beautiful. I see that happen every time somebody comes to faith in Christ. And he takes the bad things that we've done to break us, to bring us to our knees in front of him. And we humble ourselves before him and we say, oh God, forgive me. And Lord, don't just forgive me, but save me and make something good out of me. You know what that is? That's the sinner's prayer all in a nutshell. Lord, forgive me. Give me eternal life. This is what it is. He can take what we messed up and he can make it something beautiful. But first, folks, we must give something to him. And that thing is ourselves. Does everything happen for a reason? But can God make something bad good? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. He does it all the time. So when somebody comes to you and says, everything happens for a reason, you know, what are you going to say? Wrong. Incorrect. But he can take the bad thing and he can turn it into something good. You believe that? If you are praying right now and saying, God, there's something bad and I need you to turn it into something good, I want you to do something. You know what it is? I want you to stand up. Simple. It's easy. Lord, there's something bad. I need you to turn it into something good. I want to pray for you. Father, thank you for those that have been willing and transparent enough to stand. Because they're saying, Father, that there are things in our life that don't make much sense to them. They don't understand why some things are happening. Father, they need some answers. And we pray, oh Lord, that you would just reach down and that you would touch every one of these hearts. Lord, perhaps we're suffering because of sins we've committed and we just give them to you, dear God, and ask you to forgive us for those. And we pray along with David and say, oh, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from us, but restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. and renew in me a right spirit. Father, perhaps there are those that are standing right now because they're suffering because of the evil, and it's somebody else has concocted. And we ask, dear God, that you would give each one of them strength, and that you would help them, Lord, to know the truth, and to be freed by it. Father, for those that are trusting because of something wrong in their bodies, dear God, we pray that as you bring them out on the other side of this physical issue, Lord, that you would give them the joy in their heart of knowing that you have met them and helped them. Father, we believe that though things happen in our life that is bad, that you can use those bad things and you can glorify yourself in them somehow. And so, Lord, we trust you with each one of these hearts that are now standing in this place. Lord, glorify yourself. We pray in Jesus' name.